What a joy to be back home. I really mean it. This place is my home away from home. And I was in Minsk, Belarus, 2 months ago that we were planting a church there with a guy named Slava.
But I'm more involved with Romani churches. I can't embrace everything.
Amen, amen. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. I was told that we are in the middle of the sermon series, Do You Feel Like You Are Running Empty? And the text that was given to me was Psalm 46, verse 10. Did you ever feel like you're playing a hide-and-seek game with God? You have made a call to God, and you have left your message on his machine. But when is he ever going to get back to you? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like God has some kind of heavenly voice mail system? You call and you get voicemail. For a new job, press 1. If you want better children, press 2. Have you ever felt that way? We all have. And it's called the season of waiting. And also we pray, we say, God, I will do anything. I will go to church. I will listen to tapes. I will read books. I will read the Bible and I will do anything. And nothing seems to be working. Or we can say, if I could get married. If only my parents would come to the Lord. If only that job would come through. If only our finances would turn around. It's all season of waiting. Maybe it's just a little thing, but for you right now, it's the only thing that matters. It's what you think about every day. It's a season of waiting. And that brings us to today's passage where he says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be honored by every nation. I'll be honored throughout the world. So today, on the basis of that text, we are going to talk about how do you handle a season of waiting when you are being still? How do you handle a season of waiting? More than that, how do you grow through the season of waiting? Now, having said that, let me ask this question to you in the first place. Why does God make us wait? I think that's a good question, right? If God could create the world, the whole world, in 6 days, why do I have to wait 6 months to get a job? Doesn't that make sense? If he could do things immediately, why do I have to wait? Because of what waiting does to us. That's the answer. Because of what happens inside of us when we wait. Because waiting is one of God's greatest tools for growth. How do I know that? The Bible shows again and again how it is a tool. But before I show you how to wait, and the way it helps us to grow, let me show you 3 things that this tool of waiting does in our lives. What does waiting do? Why does God make us wait? Now, this is the first reason. Number 1, it renews our strength. It renews our strength. The book of Isaiah teaches us that God wants to give us a brand new kind of strength. Do you ever feel like you run out of gas? Waiting is one of the ways that God refills our tank. Waiting is one of the ways that God uses to help you and I to get recharged emotionally and spiritually. And I need it, and you need it. The book of Isaiah gives us this picture to help us to mount up with wings like eagles, to run but not be weary, to walk and not faint. I like that picture. I need that kind of strength in my life, walking, enduring, but not wearing out. Running, giving out great amounts of energy, but not wearing out. I need that. You know, when I was in Wales, I took out, you know, some of my friends for dinner. So after dinner, we had a kind of surprise thing happen. They came up with a cake, nice cake. What a treat that was. Somehow they knew that my birthday is coming up. So I really appreciated it, the way that they were remembering my birthday. But the only thing that I didn't like when that happened was that there were some birthday candles on the top of the cake. Not only it was candles were made of numbers. It has two numbers. Not 1, 6, it's vice versa.
Oh.
So can you guess how old I am? I'm 61. I just turned to 61. You see? Running and giving out great amount of energy, but not wearing out. And mounting up with wings like an eagle. Do things I never thought I could do because of God's strength through waiting. Waiting forces us to stop so that God can recharge our spiritual batteries. That's what it means. Be still and know that I'm God. So it renews our strength. This is the second reason. Not only it renews our strength, it redefines our character. A verse in the book of Romans about why God allows us to wait. It says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us. It's like an assembly line. You know, we get on this assembly line of a character. But where does it start? It starts with waiting. You gotta be still. And then when I respond with patience, God develops strength of character in me. It's His assembly line for character. It's something like waiting for a Polaroid picture, if you are old enough like me, you know what I'm talking about, to develop. You snap the picture, but it takes a bit of time for it to develop. God uses time of waiting when you are be still to develop us. So it defines our character. The third benefit of waiting is this. It also refocuses our purpose. You look at what the Bible has to say about the expert. I'm calling him the Olympic champion on waiting, whose name is Job. We all know his story of waiting. But in the eyes of a New Testament writer, for example, if you look at the book like James chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "You have heard about Job's patience, and you know the Lord's purpose for him in the end." See, as he waited through those difficulties in his life, those terrible tragedies, on the other side, he found more blessing and purpose than he has ever had before. Isn't it true that we want what we want when we want it? Isn't it true? But God does not give us what we want when we want it. We think because God does not want to have what we want when we want it. But the truth is, God doesn't give us what we want when we want it because God wants to give us more than we could ever dreamed of. We want a little. But God wants to give us much. And waiting is one of the ways that He refocuses our purpose so that He can give us what He wants to give us. So waiting renews, redefines, and refocuses strength, character, purpose. Some of you may be thinking, well, I've spent a lot of time waiting and none of those things have happened for me. How come I'm not seeing those things happen? Well, if that is you, it is very important that it is not just that we wait, but it is how we wait. And I'm going to talk about how we wait, how to be still. How can I grow through a season of waiting? There's a lot of advice about this in the Bible because God knows how much we have to struggle with waiting. So how can I grow through a season of waiting? This is the first lesson. You and I need to learn wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. It says in Isaiah chapter 49, those who wait for me shall never be ashamed. And remember Isaiah chapter 40 where it says, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. So that is a lesson that we need to learn. Wait for the Lord. What do I mean by saying wait for the Lord? When you wait, let me ask this question. What are you waiting for? When you are be still, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the Lord or are you waiting for the answer? Are you waiting for what you want to happen or are you waiting for God to act? There's a big difference between these two. Think this through with me. It is an incredibly important lesson God gives us to on how to wait. Wait for the Lord. We tended to wait for the answer. We've tried everything else a lot of times and that didn't work. So now, the last resort, I'm going to try prayer. Isn't that the way that we pray? I'm going to talk to God and ask Him for the answer that I need. So we are waiting for the answer. I'm not saying that is bad. But the Bible says, make it more personal than that. Bible is commanding us, wait for the Lord. Be still and know that I'm God. So we need to make our waiting less goal-oriented and more God-oriented. Instead of waiting for this one thing to happen, when you and I can turn our eyes to God and say, God, you could do this in a moment, you could do it in a second. So what I am waiting for is for you to be at work. I'm waiting on you because you're the one in control. God is in control. Waiting for you and I should be a powerful personal experience of trust. Times of waiting are often our greatest opportunities to trust in God. You know, I'm afraid sometimes when it comes to asking God for things we are waiting for, we sort of, you know, see it as some heavenly. There's I don't know whether you guys have ever watched this this game on American TV. Do you know? Are you familiar with Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, Wheel.
Wheel of Fortune game. I get my chance to walk up to the wheel and spin it and see what I get. If I'm lucky, God gives me what I want. But most of times, if I'm not lucky, I don't get what I want. The truth is, a lot of times we think it's luck. We think it's a good fortune, but it's not. We are waiting on a powerfully personal God who knows me and who loves me, who cares about me. We are waiting on God to act. That's why it says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, "For since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours, who works for those who wait for him." So we are not just waiting for the answer to come. We are waiting for God to act. We are not just waiting for good fortune. We are waiting for God to act. And Isaiah chapter 64 tells us that while we are waiting, God is working. God is working for those who wait. It is powerfully personal experience of trust. Now, having said that, I want to be really careful here because I know how some people, you know, take this message. Does that mean, Pastor Sam, that while I'm waiting on God, I just get in my easy chair and get my potato chips and just wait for God and to act? That's all that I have to do? No way! When I'm waiting, it means I'm trusting. In the English language, I guess when it comes to English, you guys know a lot better than I do. I've been trying to learn this strange language for years, and I'm still struggling big time, man. But at least I know that in the English language, the word wait means stop. Isn't it true? The word wait means dead in the water. Red light. I'm not going anywhere. But I know a little bit more about this language than you do. Maybe with an exception of Paul Blackham. In the Hebrew language, the word wait means trust. Put your eyes on God and recognize during this time of waiting that He and God alone is the one who can answer my prayer and fulfill our needs. Be skilled and know that I'm God. So you and I need to learn, wait for the Lord. That's the first lesson. The second lesson for you and I to remember is that when we wait, wait in a crowd. Let us wait in a crowd. Which means when you wait, you are not alone. There's an incredible difference between waiting alone and waiting in a crowd. Have you ever gotten stuck in a layover in an airport all by yourself? And you have to wait alone? I've done it many, many times. My plane got delayed 4 hours, leaving from Toronto to Gatwick. But if you are with your family, if you are with a big group of people you enjoy being with, it's a party, isn't it? There's a difference between waiting alone and waiting in the right kind of crowd. And not being in a crowd is not enough. There are some crowds you get in that can make waiting. And this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to crowds that we all wait in. The Bible. Look at the Bible. The Bible is filled with stories of people who waited. From A to Z. From Abraham, who waited for a son, to Zechariah in the New Testament, who waited for a son, John the Baptist, A to Z. Bible is filled with stories of people who waited from first to last. The first book of the Bible is Genesis. Noah, who waited 120 years for a flood to come while he was building an ark. To the last book, Revelation. John, an apostle who waited in exile on an island called Patmos, and God gave him a revelation there. And the Bible is filled with a people who waited for God to act. You name them, Paul, Nehemiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. These people all waited. Mary, Peter, David, Elijah, Esther, Ruth, Hannah, Hosea. I was keep writing all this list. Gideon and John the Baptist, Sarah and Martha, and even Lazarus. When I wrote the word Lazarus, I was laughing myself because Lazarus waited in a tomb. He was dead for 4 days, and there was kind of waiting, wasn't it? And Joseph. There was a Joseph in the Old Testament who waited to become ruler over Egypt. And there was a Joseph in the New Testament, the father of Jesus, who waited 2 years down in Egypt to come back so the king would not kill Jesus. They waited. Every one of them. When you and I read their stories, it has incredible encouragement for us. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 6, and so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So you may be thinking, those are all great people of faith. I could never wait like that. The Bible tells us Abraham waited patiently. But you know, real thing about Abraham? The real story was Abraham struggled while he waited. God told him he was going to have a son, but he waited 25 years before the son was born. During that time, he struggled big time. One time, God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, "You are going to have a son." And they laughed. Then Abraham decided he would take matters into his own hands. So he decided that he would, through his wife's maidservant, have a son. Indeed, he did have a son named Ishmael. But that was not the son that God promised. Yet, if you look at the New Testament, the Bible says, look at this guy. Look at Abraham. He's an example to you of patience. He's an example to you what it means to wait in the right kind of way. So this is the lesson that I want to emphasize. Apparently, it's okay to struggle while you wait. Apparently, when it comes to waiting, it's not how you struggle during the time of waiting. It's do you trust God all the way through the time? You may have a couple of stumblings of a couple of times when you trust in yourself rather than him. But Abraham kept coming back to trusting in God every time he came back. You know what? The word faith and the word fail began with the same three letters, isn't it? F-A-I. They just end differently. Apparently, when it comes to faith and waiting, it's the end of the story that counts. If you have been struggling while you've been waiting, join the club, join the crowd. They all struggled while they waited. Sanko struggled big time. We all struggle while we wait. That's part of what develops us. So not only wait for the Lord, wait in a crowd. That's what it means to be still and know that I'm God. The last lesson is this. Remember, God waits for you. Not only we are waiting for God, indeed God is waiting for you. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. So when you are going through a time of waiting, one of the healthiest things that you and I can do is to say to ourselves, God is being patient with me. He is patient with me because he's growing me, because he wants to change my heart. He wants to change my life. When I look at God, he has incredible patience with me. You know what? I make the same mistakes again and again. Same ones. But God's patiently helping me to grow. Not only that, I commit the same sins again and again. And God patiently forgives my sins again and again. He has incredible patience. And whenever I remember how patient God is with me, it helps me be patient with the circumstances in my life. It says in the book called Colossians chapter 1, tells us what God wants to do during these circumstances, what his patience can do for us. It says, God will strengthen you with his own great power, so that you won't give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. Not only does God want us to be patient, but he is willing to strengthen us to be patient. You are not even alone in trying to be patient. Now, having said that, the last verse especially fits some of your lives. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. It says, the Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love. God is patiently waiting. He waits for you to come to him. I know how some of you must feel while sitting in your chair this morning. You may talk to yourself this way. God, I've blown it so many times. God, I've ignored you for so long in my life. I cannot even believe I'm sitting in a church today. How can I come to him now when I have ignored him so much? It would almost be embarrassing to come to you now. If that is you, I want you to remember, God is patient with you. You know what? God waited 400 years to set his people free out of Egypt. He waited over 4,000 years after he first made the promise that Jesus would come into the world, you know, before he sent Jesus. And you think you are waiting, wearing God out because you made him wait 10, 20, 50 years? God is patient with you. He's got plenty of patience for you. And the Lord still waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. He is waiting. He hasn't stopped waiting. And God wants to give you and I the strength to wait. But God is also waiting for us to show us his love. Be still. Know that I am God, and he will be honored by every nation. He will be honored, exalted throughout the world. That's what it means to be still and know that he is God. Let's pray together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we pray, some of you might want to use today, this very moment, to come to God. If that is you, I want you to say with me in your heart, God, you've been waiting for me. You don't have to wait anymore. From now on, I want to trust you. I want to trust you the best I know how, with the way I run my everyday life. God, thanks for sending Jesus into this world to show me how to trust. I trust you to forgive me for the wrong things I have done. I trust you to lead and guide my life. I feel like I'm running empty, but I trust you to lead and guide my life. I don't want you to have to wait for me 1 second more. And God, I'm sorry that it has taken me so long, but thank you for waiting for me. And some of you might want to talk to God about a particular thing you are waiting for in your life. If that is you, all of us probably can. Just say to him one more time and reaffirm in your heart, God, I'm willing to wait for you. I've been tempted to do it my own way. Thank you for reminding me to wait for your way. I'm willing to wait for you, your best in my life. Lord, while I'm waiting, help me to trust in you. And thank you for being with us. And thank you for loving us. In your name, we all pray. Amen.
Amen.